The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, scientists say they've discovered a massive comet heading toward Earth.
Tony Kornheiser, you think it can get here before we have to take the Sports Center segment? I'd like that.
That's pretty fast. That's like a half an hour. I mean, you know, it's not much time.
Well, but if it's massive, you know, we could just say we're not doing it today. We'll wait for tomorrow. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Lakers look for a new coach, a Philly shows frustration, and the Clippers take on the Timberwolves. But we begin today with the first play-in game of the NBA expanded playoffs, Cleveland and Brooklyn. Brooklyn closed well and is clearly strengthened by Kyrie Irving being able to be an everyday player. Cleveland was one of the most surprising teams all season, along with Minnesota and Chicago. But the Cavs have been beset by injuries. So, Wilbon, what do you expect to see out of the Nets tonight?
Tone, that is the question. What do you expect to see? What do you want to see? What do they need to show us? And I expect to see, finally, a team that looks like a team that's been the betting favorite in Las Vegas since Halloween. I expect to see a team that dominates the Cleveland Cavaliers. I know the Cavaliers still have size. The Cavaliers play defense, which, you know, Brooklyn usually isn't interested in. I know they still pose, right, even injured, certain threat. But I expect to see, you know, particularly Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving lead a team that looks like a championship contender for the first time. Tony, they've had a couple of instances where they look great, and Kyrie and KD have scored a bunch of points where each one of them had 50 or 60 or whatever the astronomical numbers have been. But that's right, not what I'm talking about. I mean a complete team that looks like a championship caliber team. That's what I expect to see.
I'll answer that part second. The first thing I want to do, you say this all the time about the Nets having been the Vegas favorite to come out of the East since Halloween.
Yeah.
Not for one second do I believe that that should be true. Not for one second. Not even if they have Ben Simmons do I believe that should be true. I believe, right, demonstrably to this point, Philadelphia, Miami, Milwaukee, any way you want to put them together, maybe even Boston, have been better by far than Brooklyn. So to me, that absolutely makes no sense. Now let me get to what I expect to see tonight, and I'll say this declaratively. I expect to see Brooklyn win by 15 to 20 points. I expect to see Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving combine for around 60, if not more. And I expect by 10 p.m. Eastern that Brooklyn's going to be in the main draw of the playoffs. I'm going to root for Cleveland because I think Cleveland's been a very pleasant story all year long. But, Mike, when you get to the playoffs, it really isn't like a random Thursday in January. The focus is different, and talent, better talent wins. It's the NCAAs. It's a one-game series. The better talent is on the Brooklyn side, and I expect to see them win much as you do.
Yeah, Tony, anything else would be a shock. I mean, if they somehow can't pull themselves together you're right, Tony, by the way. I'm glad you mentioned Cleveland and J.B. Bickerstaff and what they have done there. But, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
great.
It's time. It's time. It's time now for the best teams to separate themselves, so Brooklyn better get that done. Yesterday, we addressed the sorry Lakers firing of head coach Frank Vogel. Today, the discussion turns to who will replace him. The Lakers reportedly have interest in Raptors head coach Nick Nurse, Jazz coach Quinn Snyder, Sixers coach Doc Rivers, and GM Rob Pelinka's old college teammate, Michigan head coach Juwan Howard. Tony, how attractive should this Lakers job be to any of those guys?
I don't think it should be very attractive at all. First of all, you don't know if LeBron James is going to play any games for you. You're hired as a coach. You don't know if he's going to be there. You don't know if Anthony Davis is ever going to play 50 games in any given season again. The rest of the roster stinks. It's comprised of people who are either 100 years old or Russell Westbrook, who does not fit in, and it wouldn't surprise me if he wants to leave. The roster's got to be upgraded immediately, and the GM is still there, and I don't know why you would think this particular GM is going to be able to upgrade that quick enough. So, Mike, the only reason to take the Lakers job is the reason that you would take the Knicks job. It pays a lot of money, and it's in a glamorous city. And if you want to be rich when you're fired in 2 years, you can go take a job like that. I would point out that Monty Williams and Tyronn Lue turned this job down at one point, and they're much better off where they are, as is Steve Kerr when he turned down the Knicks a few years back. I just think there's no quick fix here to me.
Tone, there's no quick fix to anybody. And you mentioned LeBron, who has this 2-year extension out there that he can get to this summer. But you're right. Until he actually signs it, you don't know, right? And Russell Westbrook has his own option for $47 million. I'm sorry. People can think whatever they think or want to of Russ. Here's one thing I know. Russell Westbrook's a pretty smart guy, a very smart guy. And he's not just taking some buyout of, 50 cents on the dollar? Tony, it's really hard to get that Laker roster turned around. I just read this last night that was stunning to me, that Luol Deng was drafted in like 2003 or 4. He's back there in that, sort of when LeBron was drafted. His salary made him this year on the Lakers. Luol Deng hadn't played for the Lakers since 2017. Like the fifth highest Laker player this year. Hadn't played for him in 5 years.
Really?
They got people on the books. They may have Jerry West and Wilt on the books in L.A. How are you going to turn that roster immediately? You don't have like Oklahoma City's posse of draft picks. So, but Tony... Mm-hmm. You know what? Doc Rivers, they're going to want to have Doc Rivers. He's got the cachet. Doc Rivers can get the attention if they decide to run it back. Oh, my God. Why would they do that with LeBron and some combination of Anthony Davis? But I look at a guy like Sam Cassell, who needs to stop warming up in the bullpen, needs to be hired by somebody, and I think could be a terrific coach. But a lot of people will be interested for the reasons you said.
Of all the coaches that are mentioned there, the most interesting by far is Doc Rivers, member of Bel Air, somebody who loves to live in Los Angeles. I don't know if he would do it. He's locked into Philadelphia, but if Philadelphia goes out early, maybe he would. That's the most interesting name. We move to baseball, where Phillies third baseman Alec Bohm is apologizing for his remark last night. Bohm was being skewered at home by boos after making three errors in the first three innings against the Mets, a game the Phillies would actually later win. Bohm was caught on camera saying, and I'm sort of quoting here, "I bleep and hate this place," unquote, except bleeping isn't the exact word. Later, he owned it. He said it, but he insisted he didn't mean it. He said, "The fans are great in Philadelphia." Well, man, you hate Philadelphia. Do you think Phillies fans will forgive him?
Maybe. He handled it so well. By the way, I don't read the tea leaves with Philadelphians. I don't care. Some of my best friends, Dwayne McKnight, Stephanie Clemens, are from Philly, and they are Philly people who will go and they will buy tickets, and they've had season tickets as kids and as adults, and they will boo you, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, it's fine. But see, I get to boo. I like booing Philly. I know you don't because you're scared of them because you live down the street in I-95. You're terrified of Philly
fans.
I'm not terrified of
them. I'll tell you why.
I'm not terrified of WIP. I like booing them. This kid, I thought he handled himself amazingly. He was quick. He had a wry little smile. You could tell it was sincere. You know he knows he's in for it potentially. That's fine. I get
That's
it.
Right.
Let me boo them. I don't live there. I don't particularly like them. I like to boo them and criticize them because they like to boo you and have nothing coming
That's
back
right.
to them in return. I don't play the game that way.
All right. So let me get to a few things. First of all, Bohm did handle it perfectly. It's the
he
only
did.
Way you can do it. Will they forgive him if he hits 320 with 35 home runs and the Phillies get to the playoffs? There's a chance. But most likely they won't, because Philadelphians are proud of the fact that they boo athletes and reduce them to tears. The person who should be talking about this is Charles Barkley, who had a love-hate relationship for years in Philadelphia. I think it turned to love overall.
Mostly love. Mostly
I know three
love,
players, only three players who were never booed. Julius Erving, Mike Schmidt, Bobby Clark, because they all won championships. Now, let me get to what I think about Philadelphia, because I like Philadelphia. My son went to school at Penn, and I told him I can get you tickets to the Washington Eagles game whenever you want, but you got to promise me you're not going to wear the burgundy and gold, because you're going to get beat up in the stands. And as we know, Mike, in the old football stadium in the vet, there was a jail.
Jail, baby.
In the basement of the vet. A real jail. Because there was a lot of fan violence there. I remember this so vividly, Mike. The first strike year with the NFL, when they set up picket lines around the stadiums, and the union members who lived in Philadelphia, if you had a ticket to the game, they punched you in the head. They wouldn't let you cross the picket line.
We were there.
They're not fooling around there. I happen to love Philadelphia and cheesesteaks and large pretzels with mustard, but this kid's going to get booed. Let's take a
break. I'm going to ask you this. Hold on. Wait a minute. Do you remember one day after a Washington Eagles game, you and I'm a young sports writer. I've never been maybe in that stadium in the vet before. We're getting on the elevator, and the police bring, like, people in handcuffs on the elevator.
Yeah.
I was terrified.
Going to jail.
And you said something
right
to the effect of, welcome to Philly. Yeah.
Sure. There wouldn't be a jail in the vet if they didn't think they could fill it. And they filled it. Let's take a break. Coming up, who has the advantage in tonight's other play-in game between the Clippers and the Timberwolves?
Scottie Scheffler's been red hot, but has Auston Matthews been on the better run? Toss-up is next. And you know, I just like to boo them. I'm booing them. Boo! Boo!
Let me tell you
boo!
This.
Philly! Hey, Philadelphia, Philly, I'm talking to you. Boo!
Four or five of the greatest golf courses in America, and you've played them.
Yeah,
you know,
I have.
They got Pine Valley. They got Aronimi. They got Philly Cricket. They got
great
courses there.
Did they ever boo Allen Iverson? Did they ever boo AI? I don't think they booed Allen Iverson.
I don't know.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time for toss up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, sees that it's still 75 degrees outside, and goes for a streak around the neighborhood. Like those days aren't gone, really. What's first?
Toss up. Who has the advantage in tonight's other play-in, the Clippers or the Timberwolves?
So I would think, Mike, that most people would say the Clippers, they are a veteran playoff team. Minnesota's never in the playoffs. They got Paul George back in the five games that he played most recently, averaged 22.5 points. But they don't have Kawhi Leonard. And you know who else they don't have? They don't have Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. They don't. And Karl Anthony Towns averages 24.5 a game and earlier this year went for 60 and 17 rebounds. And Anthony Edwards averages 21 a game and last week, I believe, went for 49. The Minnesota Timberwolves is their second time in the playoffs in 18 years, I believe. And they did so well this year and so surprising this year, they just extended the coach, Finch, I think his name is, and all of his assistants. And I concentrate on the assistants because one of them is Nathan Bubas, who I've known since he's this big.
That's right.
So I'm rooting for Minnesota.
Tone, I hear you. And you make a completely persuasive case. And if I was making the case for Minnesota, I would make the one that you just made. But I'm looking at T. Lou, and I'm looking at Paul George. And I know Paul George has been out of the lineup mostly. But Paul George, as opposed to a lot of people who say they want to play at the end of the year in the playoffs, Paul George actually did it. He said, I'm coming back. I'm going to give it what I can. I'm going to get back in this playoff and in the play-in. And he has done that, Tone. And I'm going to look at those two guys as great assets. And Minnesota is going to run up against playoff basketball and two people who've been involved in a lot of it and late in the seasons in a lot of it. So I think the Clippers have an advantage, but I am really intrigued by this game. And Karl Anthony Towns, Tone, who I voted for last night, third-team All-NBA center, he's having a heck of a year. This could be a sort of a breakout time for him.
Who remembers their votes for third team? Who really does this? What's next?
Toss up, who's been on the hotter run, Scottie Scheffler or Austin Matthews?
Okay, to begin with, this is apples and oranges. This is golf and hockey. But I'm going to say Scheffler. Austin Matthews has been great. There are some numbers that people need to know. He's got 58 goals so far. He's got 21 goals in his last 16 games, and he may even finish with 65 goals. And that's wonderful. Wayne Gretzky had 92 goals one year. Brett Hull and Mario Lemieux had in the 80s. And I think that every other year or so, somebody gets around 60 goals. I think it's easier, Mike, to score a goal than it is to win a golf tournament by beating everybody else in the field. And different weather conditions for everybody out there sometimes. I think that's really hard. He's won four big-time tournaments. Big-time tournaments in the last six, including one we like to call the Masters. And what Austin Matthews is doing is great, but what Scheffler is doing, it may be historic at this point. You know, it only happens once every 5 or 10 years, and it is amazing to me.
Austin Matthews is doing something that somebody does, you know, pretty regularly, and it's terrific, right? It's tremendous. You know, but we, you know, in Washington, we have seen Ovechkin, you know, do this. You've seen
65.
You know, every couple of years, somebody comes along and they go for 60, and you're like, wow. This is an impressive season. But to win four out of six, and these four, I mean, come on now. I mean, there's a few guys who can do that, and Tiger, of course, is one of them. And if you're on the list, that's like on that list when you're on that list with, like, Wilt. And you just go, okay, everybody else can take a step back now. You're on the list with Tiger
that's
Woods,
right.
And you've won four. It doesn't mean that Scheffler's going to stay that hot. It doesn't mean he's going to do it another year. That's why it's special this year.
I think it is. That's it. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Novak Djokovic goes out early in Monte Carlo.
And Luka Doncic gets his MRI back. We'll tell you what it says. I don't care what it says now. I'm saying Luka Doncic is going to play. That's what I'm saying.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 27th birthday, Jennifer Brady. Brady is one of a host of American women tennis players who have made or won major finals in recent years, but have been obscured by the shadow cast by the great Serena Williams. Brady, who played tennis at UCLA, made the Australian Open final in 2021, losing to Naomi Osaka. Madison Keys made the U.S. Open final in 2017, where she lost to fellow American Sloane Stephens. Danielle Collins made the Australian Open final this past January, losing to Ash Barty. Sophia Kennan won the Australian Open in 2020 and lost the French Open final later that year to Iga Swiatek. The point is, with Barty now retired and Serena at 40 years old, there may be some room at the rail for these American players.
Tony, I think that too. But as you know, because you followed tennis a long time, there's some 15-year-old or two or three or five of them waiting in the weeds. And they just come out and you go, my God, they just gangstered the whole field. And you know that's possible, though I root for a lot of those women you just mentioned. And I know their games and their styles of play and it's sort of, it ain't guaranteed.
Happy anniversary, Larry Mize. On this day 35 years ago, Mize chipped in on the second playoff hole of the Masters to win the only major of his career. Mize was a local boy, born in Augusta, and he had worked as a scoreboard operator on the third hole of the Masters. The victim of Mize's famous chip was Greg Norman, who barely missed a birdie putt on the 72nd hole that would have given him the green jacket. Instead, Norman Mize and Seve Ballesteros went into a playoff. Ballesteros was eliminated on the first playoff hole, Norman on the second. This was part of Norman's terrible luck at the Masters. More famous even than this loss is the one Norman suffered in 1996 when he had a 6-stroke lead over Nick Faldo heading into Sunday and wound up losing by 5 shots, an 11-shot swing.
Yeah, Tone, I mean, Larry Mize was celebrated and talked about, obviously, in the last week or so, and you see that and you feel his joy. But more than identifying with his joy, maybe I'm just of a certain age, and I do know Greg Norman a little bit, I identify with Norman's misery. My God, you could say, you know what, I don't want to play this sport. Anything that could leave me with that kind of pain, I don't want. And I understand that about Greg Norman.
Yeah, but you play it all the time, and so do I. Happy trails, Novak Djokovic. The well-rested Djokovic played his first tennis match since February today on clay in Monte Carlo, and he lost. Djokovic, the world's number one ranked player, lost to the number 46 ranked player in the world, Alejandro Davidovich Fokina, in 3 sets, 6-1 in the third, and did not look sharp. Djokovic was famously deported from the Australian Open for refusing to be vaccinated against COVID, then missed big tournaments at Indian Wells and Miami for the same reason. Djokovic has been cleared to defend his French Open championship in May and clearly needs the work on clay courts to prepare.
Tony, Djokovic is something of a villain to many people right now, but tennis is not served by Djokovic being out of tournaments early. It just isn't. You can have, you know, a guy who's been a star and an all-timer and also maybe turns a little bit villainous late in his career for whatever reasons, if some see him that way. But tennis is best served when Djokovic is playing, so I don't know what turn this is taking, if any.
One clarification, I said an NHL player gets around 60 goals every other year. In fact, I'm wrong. Only two have hit 60 since 1996, and Austin Matthews is at 58 with 10 games left, including tonight's against the Sabres. So
he'll get
I'm wrong,
he better
but
get
I'm still
there.
Taking Scheffler. I'm still taking Scheffler. Let's go to the big finish. An MRI confirmed that Luka Doncic has a left calf strain with no word on his availability for Saturday's playoff opener. Is this a big deal?
Tuesday to Wednesday, Wednesday to Thursday, Thursday to Friday, Friday to Saturday. 4 days in the NBA. It's a big deal. I believe Luka Doncic will play and be great. Kirk Cousins says he'd like to retire a Viking. You believe that?
I believe it. You have to ask yourself, what impact has he had in Minnesota, except in his own wallet, signing all these great contracts? What have they won? They have not won anything. Ryan Howard went first in the WNBA draft to the Atlanta Dream. Your thoughts?
Ryan Howard was a 2-time SEC Player of the Year, even before Leah Boston, who was that this year. So obviously, worthy. Congratulations. The Preakness suspended Bob Baffert from running a horse in next month's race. Tony, this is your territory. Does this make sense?
Well, he's suspended in Kentucky, so he can't run in the Kentucky Derby, and I guess Pimlico is sort of honoring that. This leaves only the Belmont, maybe. Last one, the U.S. women's soccer team plays a friendly against Uzbekistan tonight. I know you're smelling upset.
Yeah, because the U.S. beat Uzbekistan 9-1 on Saturday in what we call a recent matchup. Not so much.
We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. To Lenore and Mike and Andrew, shout out.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the ESPN app and Apple Podcasts.